The name of this message is, I believe, part one. Part two doesn't exist yet. It does exist, it's just not written. And, my opening verse is Haggai 1:4-7 says, "Is it time for you yourselves to dwell in the paneled houses while the house here lies desolate? Now therefore consider your ways. You've sown much, but harvest little. You eat, but there's not enough to be satisfied. You drink, but there's not enough to be drunk. You put on clothing, but nobody's warm enough. And he who earns wages to put in a purse with holes. Thus says the Lord, consider your ways." And I heard this song, and for some reason it just reminded me of the first time that God saved me. The first time that God saved me, and in the shoes that I was in, the position I was in, and where I came from, and how much it took to overtake that, right? And very much maybe where many of you are today. And in order to really give you an understanding, you know, how much this broke my heart, I couldn't let it go. And I just had to give you a taste of where I was and who I was in order to show you how powerful of a thing that it was for God to be willing and able to change me. But you wouldn't get it if I was standing here in this, because I wasn't this. You know, I started out little. My first encounter probably with alcohol and drugs was 8 years old, with my sister's friends being older and me finding an avenue to make money off of them. By the time I was 12, I started selling weed. I have more money before I have a license than I make right now. You couldn't tell me anything. I was an alcoholic. We used drugs. We sold drugs. We got older. We sold more drugs, harder drugs, addicted to more drugs, drinking on the weekends. I get 2 half gallons, 14, 15 years old, you know? We had a little limo driver. His name was Kelly. He used to go buy our liquor and just drive us around the limo, and we partied all the time. I'll never forget those days. But see, the problem was, way before that, as a little tiny kid, I was little. You know, it's not the guy that you see here today. When I was little, I was little. I wasn't even a big guy comparatively to everybody else. And man, everybody's older than me, so I got beat up all the time. Friends 4 or 5 years older than me beat me up. Sister 5 years older than me beat me up. Sister's friends beat me up, right? No dad left us. Right? I remember sitting on the porch. I finally had enough of them women. And I said, "You got to come and pick me up." And he said, "Oh, I'll be there." And midnight would roll around. And they'd come out and sit down next to me. He wasn't coming, right? Was angry. I had this anger. But I kind of had a reverence for old school gangsters, because they were well dressed and polite, but they were ruthless and they got their money. Because we were broke. We were poor. Well, my sister had my mom drop her off blocks away from school, so her friends didn't see my mom's 13th beater with a heater. I realized at a young age that the only thing that mattered was money. So I had to go get it. Now, some of you guys know me personally. My record's like this tall off the ground at this point. But we're just doing the first time. So we're going to try to stay focused on that. I hated everything. I was angry. I was 16. I had 2 apartments. Ended up getting a woman pregnant that I should have never introduced to my mom. We'll let that one sit there. And then, you know, obviously that didn't work out. Apartments and things. I probably had 6 DUIs. And I just didn't care. Because I had too much money. You know, one of my DUIs, I remember they pulled me over and searching my pockets, and I got my cousin's Monte Carlo SS hammered. I was sitting on Wells Street at the red light, just burning the tires. My buddy's like, "Chill out, man, chill out." You know what I'm talking about? No, you know. And then looked at the red light, there was two cop cars just sitting there. I'm burning them up, you know, smoking the tires. And so then I go, light turns green, they pull on, turn their lights on, I hit the curb just to ice that whole situation off, right? But he's patting me down, pulls out my money, it's like this, puts it on the trunk. He said, "What's that?" So that's my money. He said, "Put it back in your pocket." Ripped the whole car apart. Wasn't nothing in there, right? Because I was smarter than that. I knew what I was doing. You were never going to get me, right? I was too smart to understand how to control my own self. You got to think how many arrests and how many situations occur, how much anger, how much frustration, how much addiction, how many hearts broken. You know, I was getting to the point where my own mom wouldn't answer the phone anymore. And that's a woman that's been in my corner since day one, you know? Just drop the ball how many times? And then you know it's bad when mom won't answer the phone anymore, you know? So, trying to remember, aggravated assault and battery with a deadly weapon with intent to kill. A is C and four Ds. There's a minimum of 40 years. I'm sitting in the county. I'm young in my 20s. I'm just so terrible that nobody leaving take my collect call. You know, all my guys, they said he's gone. So they just mopped all my stuff up like bread and gravy, right? Everything I had out there was disappearing, and I felt like I was falling apart. My whole world's coming apart. You're taking everything from me. I was going to kill him. But I was trapped. I wasn't going to get out. A and C and 4D. I think I was on the block for 22 months before I got sentenced because we were fighting the case with Harold Myers, my attorney at the time. But something really strange happened in that jail during that time frame. And the thing that I want to tell you is, when I was brought up, my grandfather went to Mass on Christmas. You know, that was my experience. And I had some background of understanding, but I had never applied faith to my life. And I was angry. I was going to bed at night thinking to myself, somebody's going to die when I walk out of here because I'm going to get my money back. Believe me. And this guy, he's like this tall, comes on the block. Right? His name, oh my gosh, Gene Detmer. Gene Detmer. He was the sweetest little dude you ever met in your life. But I'm angry killer, right? I mean, in my mindset, I'm ready. And this little dude seen my name in the newspaper and started coming on the block because he knew I was in there. He came specifically to that jail to prey on me. And for some reason, even though I didn't want him to, he came. And he would put his hand up, "Can I pray for you? Can I pray for you?" I didn't want to tell him no, right? But if you look around, it don't look like anything else was working out, right? 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 So my oldest boy, he was permanently damaged. You know, I mean, the repercussions of decisions that we make as people transcend through our generations. We got a different message online talking about breaking the chains. Amen? Breaking those chains. Because the same addiction, the same situation, that everything you've gone through and they witnessed, then they come up. But what about your parents that you witnessed and you come up? You ever repeat them mistakes? It's not so easy to understand. But the reality is he was, you know, 12, 14 years old helping me break down bricks all over the kitchen. How do you put that back? How do you fix that? Right? Now he's fried. And so was I at the time. But this little guy, man, he'd come in and he'd pray on me. And he'd pray on me, and he'd pray on me, and he'd pray on me, and he'd pray on me. It was the wildest thing. I'd never met him before in my life, but he was coming there for me. He would come two times a week, sometimes three times a week. He'd bring a book cart once in a while. But he would come, and he would come to pray on my shoulder. Gene Detmer. And I will never, ever forget just that confirmation of understanding that God was real in that time frame. Because it's ridiculous to come up to me and tell me that Jesus Christ died for my sins after everything I've been through and where I'm at. I don't want to hear that, right? You're crazy. You're nuts. But here's the deal. My whole life was overfilling with hate and frustration and pain, and this little dude started coming in and praying on my shoulder and praying on my shoulder and praying on my shoulder. And one day I woke up, I started reading, And then he come in, was talking to me about what I was reading. Then one day I woke up and I wasn't angry anymore. How do you get rid of that? Right? How do you get rid of that? You think about God having the power to turn over your past decisions and problems and things and burdens that you carry. I read a thing that Pammy wrote the other day. She was talking about working with a family that said that this mom was an alcoholic and the child was having a hard time. And they had an epiphany to realize that when they were praying about it, that it moved to Jesus because she realized that the burden wasn't hers. And that's what I think about. I think about like all the pain and suffering, frustration, and the lack of forgiveness and everything we just carry like cinder blocks all day long, wearing us down, until we come to the realization that the true burden of all that sin is not ours. Amen?
Amen.
Right? So, I mean, we can run. I mean, we take the fastest guy in the room. What's he run? 20 miles an hour. Put 17 cinder blocks on him. How fast is he going to run? And think about your life spiritually. I'm dragging this unforgiveness. I'm dragging this addiction in my left pocket. I'm looking at this. I'm doing that. I'm still not. Oh, God, I'm going to get it right. Because we all have tomorrow, right?
Mm-hmm.
Amen, right?
Amen.
Everybody's got tomorrow. Oh, I'm going to get it right. But then I started thinking to myself, how many times do I got to run good and fail and run good and fail and run good and fail? Might be 2 months, might be 6 months, might be 1 year. But yet you have to watch me do it again. Every single time I fail, I break your heart. Every person in the family, over and over and over and over, because I wasn't impolite, right? They still love me. I wasn't never an impolite. God was just ruthless. I'm going to do what I'm going to do, and you ain't going to tell me anything about it, like it or not. I'm still that way. But I'm that way kind of with love now. right? But like the heart of me is like, Christ is real, and I don't care if you like me or not. Right? Because I'm still that same guy, kind of deep down, but I understand it. There was only one substance. It wasn't heroin. It wasn't cocaine. It wasn't drunk. It wasn't 14,000 girls. It wasn't all the money in the world walking in being the man. It wasn't none of that. None of that had the power to heal me. And God wrote it in the book and handed it out. He said, consider your ways. And I said, wait a minute. I have never sat down and thought, maybe I'm the one that's causing myself to go through all these roller coasters. What if I'm my own enemy? What if all these influence and all these people on the street and everything I've been through and all they took had nothing to do with that? What if it was just me and where I put myself? God said, consider your ways. He said, you earn wages into an empty hole. You build a wall and knock it down. Why? Consider your ways. And I think about that verse, and then I thought about that sound and the song, and it just touched me in a way of understanding that I had to share with you guys. Proverbs 27:20 says, Sheol and Abaddon are never satisfied, sore the hearts of men. I know you hear me say that verse a lot, but what he's saying is the pit of sin and negativity can never be satisfied. In that, my curricular activity with drugs or women or alcohol or my pride and my work or whatever you want to put in that that's not God can't fulfill the hole that you wake up with the next day. Period. There's only one power in the world that can fill the void and cause me to be able to do the right thing. And that's faith. Amen? Think about it. Because if anything else had worked, we'd still be doing it. Right? Right? If everything else had worked, we wouldn't have been hiding it. Right? But God comes into your life and you can't hide it. You gotta tell somebody. Like something strange is going on. I'm not even myself anymore. I just gotta tell you about the love of God and this strange little man that prayed on me and changed my life for no reason. For no reason. But do you think now, having met me now today, that was no reason 15 years ago? Well, I don't even know. Do you remember when the Twin Towers got hit? Yeah. I was sitting in the day room on A Block, thought it was the end of the world. I was like, that's it? I'm dying in here, eating Kit Kats with peanut butter on them, living good. It's over with, you know? Get the styrofoam noodle cups at that point. We didn't make it to the packages yet. I haven't been sentenced. So, Sheol and Abaddon are never satisfied, so are the hearts of men. And then we've got to think about these worldly rewards that we kind of put in front of ourselves that kind of tease us. And it's kind of like that rug that gets swept out from under our legs. We put our faith in this opportunity that's not faith, right? What Christ said, he said, you know, the winds came, the storm came, the winds blew, and the guy that stood on the rock stayed firm, but the one that built his faith on sand knocked over. And he said, why is that? He said, because there's going to be trials and tribulations and things that come into your life, because that's life. We're just people. We're regular people. But do you want to have the strength to overcome those things? Or are you going to be the kind of guy that gets knocked over like a deck of cards every day? Something bad happens today. Boom! I lose my mind. I'm locked up. Right? Something bad happens today. I run my mouth. You know? Well, how much integrity am I walking by? Well, you go back then, and there is no chance. But you go to today with God in your life, and it's different. But the only thing that can satisfy that. So God answers that. Psalm 34:8 says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. And what he says there is, if you don't believe me, try me. Amen. And that's the kind of question that I have for you. If God could take me, who doesn't deserve any love whatsoever or any forgiveness whatsoever, and then work on my life. And remember, this is part one, right? So there was definitely part two that we're not talking about yet. But if you think about the Lord saying, taste and see that the Lord is good, you don't believe in China. Look at your life right now and you say, could I improve? Am I all that I could possibly be right now? If not, am I putting God first in my life? Because that's what he's saying here. He said, it's time for you yourselves to dwell in the paneled houses while this house lies desolate. What he's saying is, you take all this time, all this energy, and you put it into yourself, thinking that that's the facade of how you're going to succeed, but you put no time and effort into me. So therefore, I have removed all of the things that you have worked on so that you can see the base rate again. Mm-hmm. Amen, right?
Amen.
Right? So now it's clean. And for me, it was sitting in there locked up with nowhere to go. Had to sit me still, because you couldn't if I was outside. You couldn't sit me still for 25 minutes. I'd be sitting there making up reasons to fight with whatever girlfriend I had so I could get back out there. You know, we're supposed to watch a movie. I'd be like, man, I can fight about something. I know I'm going to start a fight, just be it, you know. But I mean, it was just, it's messed up. Psalm 37:4 said, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Now, I want to look at that for a minute. He said, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Now, having read that and thought about that on a superficial level, you would think to yourself that God's going to provide for me, because provision's a kingdom, you know, kind of an ordinance, and that God's always going to take care of me. He says that, but here's the difference. When we were younger and we were going through these things, or maybe even just a few months ago, when we were drawn to all this temptation, negativity in our life, amen, right?
Amen.
Yes or no?
Yeah.
Right? How many, we've all got different days of sobriety, right? We were talking about me being clear probably for 11 years at this point now. But you got to think of how many of the 651,326 tries that failed, right? But see, he says, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. Now you think about the world's draw on your life. The temptation of what everybody else has. The temptation of what you want to ingest. The temptation of all the things that are out there. That's a fleshly thing that's natural. David said, I was born in sin, and sin my mother's conceived me. Right? So I came into this flesh world understanding the flesh, growing up in the flesh. I only know the flesh. But then you introduce God to me, and I have to understand life spiritually. And spiritually, he's trying to put in us the desire to become whole. That's massive when you think about it.
Yeah.
That's insane when you start to think about it. So if I was to break that down, to delight is a verb that means captivate. It's an attract and hold the interest of. So basically, if you went after your faith with 50% of the strength that you went after your addiction, what do you think that would do in your life? Yes or no? To captivate. That means that I'm going to stop today and I'm going to give God my attention. I'm going to spend some time in his word. I'm going to think about what it's saying. I'm going to attend groups. We're here tonight. Amen?
Amen.
Right? Step one down. Well, what am I going to do on my own time? We'll be here 2 hours. There's 166 hours of the week. Right? When am I recharging that spiritual battery? When am I going to make sure that I'm getting tasted? Because he says to be captivated. So I'm going to put my attention on God. Number two, as a noun, means great pleasure. You know what the funny thing is about coming up and thinking you're the man? The reality of it is? I figured it out. I know what it is. It's a misconception of adoration. And adoration by itself, broken all the way down, is just love. It's just love.
Amen.
We all just want to be loved. And God created us to be loved and says, I love you and I will love you and I will teach you and I will grow you and I will heal you and I will keep you. That's the love. But we as people have an ability to skew that and gain that love by saying, you know, I'm the man right now. Right? Or building my self-esteem up for having the right job or being the best athlete or having the whatever you want to put that golden calf, right? That old school golden calf. It's whatever I can feed, show all the bad and with right now, but it's a hole. And if I put anything in the hole, what happens? It's empty again because it's a hole. Only Christ can fill that. I got to think about what he's saying to me right now. Great pleasure. So the reality, so what you're telling me right now is if I put my focus on you, whether I completely understand you or not, because A, he says my ways are not your ways, so high as the heavens above your ways, that your ways are not my ways, right? So I have to understand that God is on his level. He don't get to be my God, right? I get to be his servant. Right? I mean, he is my God. He gets to be my God. But here's the thing. I can't take him from here and place him here because God said it's okay for me to do this and do this and do this and this because we've always done that or we've always done it that way or this is what I think's okay. I probably was saved for I don't even know how many months and I was still smoking weed.
Come on.
I would speak the word and go home and smoke. And I don't like to talk about that.
Come on.
I don't like to talk about that. But I'm going to be real. Right? Wouldn't you rather hear the truth today? Right? Because we have an ability to tell ourselves anything. Because the flesh, man, the flesh is shiny, it's pretty, it's what I want, it's got to have it. I'm still a good guy, I do good things. Right? You can have a little bit of that. Right? But it ain't right. Because we sacrifice our integrity and our progress because God's saying, the more I come to you, the more you come to me, the more you focus on me, I will give you pleasure that pleases and captivates you. Well, everything that we look for to begin with. Amen?
Amen.
Does it make sense?
Amen.
He says, so I know I've strayed way away from the song. I'm going to get back to that. But he said, the law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul. The New Testament Amplified Version says, able to make you whole again. This is one of my favorite verses that I've ever read in my life because I started at day one and did nothing but destroy everything I ever was until God slowed me down enough to think about it. Right? And then the verse here says that he is able, that the law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul, that he is able to make you whole again. Able to make you whole again. There's the answer to the verse, Sheol and Abaddon are never satisfied, so are the hearts of men. So the reason why I can't sit still, the reason why I can't have those things, is simply because I'm not spending enough time in the Lord. Right? Because the more we delight ourselves in Him, He will give us the desires of our heart. If we go back to that, that means that I no longer wake up and have to go to the casino. I no longer wake up and have to roll 14 blunts. I no longer have to wake up and, right? My pocket is empty now. And I'm happier than I've ever been in my life.
Amen.
Amen, right?
Amen.
There's not, I've got, man, I'm broke. Times are rough. But I've never been so happy. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I work 29 hours a day. I ain't got nothing left. We're digging right now. We're digging. But you think about that. And he says that I will make you whole again. Because the reality of the facade of all those things is irrelevant. And when you come to the realization that with God in your life, you have everything you need.
Amen.
It changes it. It changes it. So now you can sit still. Now you understand because the more you put yourself in God, the more He builds you. The more He fixes those relationships around you. The more He builds that path around you. 3, 5, and 6. Proverbs.
Right.
Trust in the Lord with all your heart. What? And what? And he shall make your path straight. That's the problem, man. We're all driving, but we're trying to, you know, God's driving too. If we keep grabbing the wheel, he can't steer. You know what I mean? He will make your path straight. But if I'm not putting my focus and my hope and my strength in Him, how's He going to straighten me out? How's He going to light the light bulb off? It's like, you big dummy, what'd you do that for? You know, growing us, because we're just people. The reality is, tomorrow we may make a mistake that we never wanted to do. We don't know that. But we wake up today and we put ourselves in Christ and we do the best we can with our focus and just let Him chip away. Remember the field of wheat? Who was here for that message?
Amen.
You know,
amen.
Understanding that periods of time in our life was for growth and understanding that that is going to change, but it is necessary to become mature in our lives.
Amen.
That any circumstance and past situation doesn't have to be negative or held over my head if we use it for the glory of God.
Amen.
Nothing you've ever done in this world cannot not be forgiven. Don't ever let the devil tell you you've gone too far. And you think about this song that I heard. She said, I keep fighting voices in my head that say I'm not enough. Every single lie that tells me I'll never measure up. Am I more than just the sum of every high and low? Remind me once again, because I need to know who I am. And you think about how many times those lies in your life was telling you you're not good enough, that you can't do it. But the Bible said righteous man falls down seven times what?
Seven times he gets up.
Seven times he gets up. No matter how many times you knock me down. No matter how many mistakes I've ever made, no matter what I did 7 hours ago, if I put my faith in God right now and get up, amen?
Amen.
Righteous man falls down seven times he gets up. It doesn't matter. You don't have to hold that over your head. And there's circumstances and things that we've done in our lives to people that we don't want to have to grudge up, right? Sometimes it's better not to rake the leaves. Let it go. Let God work on that. You know what I mean? But the reality is He has the power to address them. But we need to focus on Him so He can address us.
Amen.
So, I like the part. Romans 14:4 says, who are you to judge another servant of another? To his own master he stands and falls, and he will stand because the Lord's able to make him stand. He said, who are you to judge another? Right? Alone a man stands before his master. He says, God has called us, and we stand alone before God. On two references to that verse. One, it's not my job to judge you. It's my job to love you.
Amen.
Am I right?
Yeah.
But it's also not your job to judge somebody else. Because we get so caught up in that stuff. Paul said, I won't be so bold as to class ourselves or compare ourselves to some of those that commend themselves by comparing them to themselves, but they're void of understanding. What he's saying is, everybody around you that you're comparing yourself to is not God. Right?
Amen.
So if, no matter how good you are, right? If I take Mick, which this guy is amazing. You know, I've known him a very, very long. He's probably pedestal A for me in my life, right? But he's not God, right? I can't compare myself to anyone but God and what's written in this word, because it's God that's at work in my life. Amen, right?
Amen.
Think about that. So no matter who you got or who you are, negative, positive, I'm not saying don't have influences, don't have mentors. We're here to mentor and help. But the reality is only God can look at you and see you for who you are exactly. And that is who you serve. Amen, right?
Amen.
So I don't want to judge you. I don't want you to judge me. And I understand that each and every single one of us stand alone before God. And God's called us. And He said that to His own master He falls or stands, and He will stand because the Lord is able to make Him stand. That's a good verse. To know that no matter where you are in your life, righteous man falls down seven times he gets up. How's he get up? How does he get up? Because the Lord called him up. Amen, right? I can't tell you how many of my friends never got up again. They went down, they didn't get up. Half of them went off, they're not coming back. Right? How many of us are left? We're just now starting to see them trickle back into the world. Can you imagine this day and age losing 15 or 30 years and being dropped back? That's like Shawshank with the guy that scratched his stuff. He said, man, send me back.
Yeah.
Right? I'm not ready for this. Then I don't even think, you know, I mean, think of the technology change and just the way that you would be if you dropped 20 years right now. Be lucky enough to drop. The prison was the best thing that ever happened to me. Amen?
Amen.
That's a hard thing to think about. Because we are not lining up to go to prison.
You would have never been like, hey, bus is coming at noon. I'd have been miles away, right? I'm like, free ride? I'm not going. You got to get me, right? And he did. But you think about that. It is the best thing that ever happened because we just don't have time in this busy world to focus. Philippians 3:13 says, brethren, I do not regard myself as laying hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on to the forward goal of the upward call in Christ Jesus. And I love that Paul says that right there. He says, not that I've laid hold of it yet. I mean, he's not bragging, he's not boastful, he's not saying that, you know, this is Paul. He wrote the majority of the New Testament, and he's still being humble. He's saying, not that I've laid hold of it yet, but the one thing that I do is I set the past in the past. I press forward towards the upward call in Christ Jesus. Amen? Amen. Nothing that happened yesterday matters. Amen. Nothing that matters. Amen. Period. It's over with. It's written now. Now I can press forward and on. How many of us can drive straight down this street if we're just looking straight through the rearview mirror and not watching where we're going? But we live our lives spiritually that way. There's so much unforgiveness. There's so much frustration. There's so many things we just won't let go with other people, with ourselves, with disappointments. That just picture you driving that car. I could give you a McLaren, and you'd be the fastest car on the street. But if you're only watching through the rearview mirror, how are you going to beat me if I'm on foot? Right? Think about that spiritually. Let's see what else I wrote in here somewhere. I'll read section 2. So, he says, the only thing that matters now is everything you think of me. In you I find my worth, in you I find my identity. The only thing that matters now is what you think of me. And when you get to that point in your life where you've surrendered your faith to God and you understand that it's His calling that's on your life. It's His call that's on your life. No matter who you are, where you've been, what you got right now, it's God that's pricking your heart, amen? That's all it is. That's all it is. And your value and your identity and your worth was created by Him for you now. And I don't know about you, but I want to capture it. Because I'm tired of amassing these things and watching them go away. And then building relationships and breaking them in half. How many of you guys are just tired of this? Come on, man. I was tired of being tired of being tired. I can't tell you how many hearts I've broken in my lifetime, including my own. I'm sick and tired of building it all up and feeling secure and watching it go away. Because I never once considered my ways. It's in Him that we find our identity. Part 3 says, taking all that I've had, I lay it on your feet. You have every failure, God. You have every victory. You say I'm loved when I can't feel a thing. You say I'm strong when I'm weak. You say I'm held when I'm falling short, when I don't belong. You say I'm yours. And my favorite part of the whole song is when she says, I believe.
Amen.
Amen.
I believe. Because God laid that out for every one of us. He put it there. He laid it there. It's right there. But there is a very, very, very special step. And that's that part when she admits and says, I believe. Romans 10, 9 and 10 says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, that you will be saved.
Amen?
Amen. That if you believe with your mouth, that you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. You will be saved. There's no prefixes. I'm not going to put a list there. He's telling you right now, you spit it out and you put it in your heart and you hold it closed and you will be saved. And the favorite part of that song to me is, I believe. Right? Right? Say it with me. I believe. I believe. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For in it men of old gained approval. By faith we understand that the world was prepared by the word of God, and that what is seen was made of things that were not visible. So you talk about them and gaining the approval in the old school word, and what he's talking about is they received that word and it implemented their lives. It changed their lives, and they shared that word to others and it changed their life. Amen, right? And then those guys shared to who, to who, to who, to who, to what? To us. And where are you today? That same word, the exact same scripture, the exact same print being shared to every single one of us today. Amen?
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
And I believe. I believe. We can hold on to this and understand this. Now faith, the assurance of things hoped for, the convictions of things not seen, for men of old gained approval. And if they did, why couldn't we? We look at this word and we understand that a testimony of biblical transforming power cannot be denied. And I can tell you before you right now, if God had the love and the patience to somehow deal with me and still deal with me today, I promise He's ready to work with you. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray.